Right. So we want to talk about, well, how do we know things? And in order to know how we know things, we have to assume that we know things. And so,
or that we can know them.
That we can know them. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And even not knowing things, we know that we can't know them, which is a form of knowledge. So again, you know, Kant here is wrestling with that idea of, well, okay, how do we get a starting point? How do we get our feet underneath us? And he just says, well, you know, we kind of have to assume it. So given that knowledge is possible, said Kant, we should ask, what are the conditions that make knowledge possible? So, okay, here he's saying we have a ability to know. So how is that possible? What must the world, the mind, the human thought, all these things that commingle all together, so the outside and the inside, so, you know, knowledge is an internal mechanism, but also without an outside world, you know, the inside mind, you know, doesn't have anything to relate that to. You know, I see a bird flying, so I assume, you know, there's things like air or a medium or for birds. It to exist in, or the bird itself, or yeah. My eyes. So, you know, it's the how far back can I go before I'm just that brain in the vat there? So what must the world, the mind, and human thought be like if human knowledge is to be possible? And Kant said here that the transcendental method then goes ahead to ask what the necessary conditions of human knowledge are.
Right. So notice transcendental has to do with transcending, right? Going beyond or behind our knowledge claims to ask, you know, what has to be the case in order for us to know anything. That's the basic idea of the transcendental argument, right? What are the conditions for knowledge, right? What has to be the case in order? So he's assuming that we can know stuff, right? And then he asks the question, what has to be the case for it? And so Van Til then picks up on this, right? He studied under idealists at Princeton University in the 1920s, and emerged advocating a kind of transcendental method that was distinctly Christian, though. So he added a twist to the transcendental argument and made it basically Christian. So like Kant, Van Til was unhappy with empiricism and rationalism. So these were two competing views with regard to foundation of knowledge, right? Empiricism says all of our knowledge claims are based on our sensory perceptions. Our perceptions are gives us the basis of our knowledge claim. How do I know something? Well, I perceive it. I see it. I touch it. I taste it, that sort of thing. Rationalism, on the other hand, says, no. We're born with innate ideas. And so we can know math and the laws of logic. They're just part of our equipment. And so there was this, you know, kind of back and forth between these two various positions. Kant tried to bridge the gap, right, with his thinking. And so now Van Til, who is unhappy with empiricism and rationalism, and by the way, with traditional ways of combining reason and sense experience, so he thought that they were both wrong in a distinctive theological way. And so he tries to deal with this issue from a theological perspective.
Right. This is kind of an area of subject that I first, when I took my intro 101 to philosophy class way back in the day in WMU, you know, understanding that there are these knowledge claims that we kind of a priori, that's, you know, kind of one of the key words that you have to define on your first test there is okay, well, you know, how do you prove mathematics? How do you understand that you know mathematics? Well, you can do math, but how do you know that you're able to use it and be there? So things like numbers or language associates to the real world, other people's minds, all those things are kind of included in this first discussion. So this is a very key and kind of central point within the philosophical discussions of humanity. And so this is what we even start students with, at least in my case, back in the early 2000s. All right. So traditional methodologies applied to apologetics, said Van Til, assumes that human sense experience, human reason, or both can adequately function without God. That is autonomously or neutrality. And so, you know, this is something that's critiqued within the debate between classical and evidentialists and presuppositionalists and reformed epistemology and cumulative case people is kind of what can we present to people that they're able to understand? And presupposition says, well, there's nothing outside of assuming that God exists that people can truly know, that they can have justification for that knowledge. They can know things, but they only know things in relationship to a creator of the universe that still exists, that holds the universe together, from whose direct character these things are known and knowable. And the classicalist tends to I think in some respects say, well, you know, let us reason together and let's see if I can convince you, and I'll just, you know, throw a bunch of facts at you in a very well presented way, and you'll make your decision from there. Until right. saying, well, that's not quite the case. That's not what we see in Scripture, and seems to be kind of the exact opposite of what we're being told to do. So at the very
the claim here then is that, well, you know, based on human sense experience and human reason, they function adequately, and we really don't need God for their functioning. That's the claim here. And as you mentioned, now this is part of the ongoing, you know, argument between different folks with regard to, is this true? Does our sense experience and our reason function adequately without God? Is it autonomous? Is there some type of neutrality where everybody is on the same page with regard to, you know, how they reason and that sort of thing? Now, you know, in one sense, we're going to see yes, but in another sense, and this is what Van Til's issue is going to talk about, is no, not really, right?
Right, right. And again, once you get past your first keyword in the intro class, you realize that the philosophical ideas of the time get supplanted and revolutionized, and the new one comes about, and then it happens again, and then it happens again and again. And so, you know, we're always sure that we know the things that we know in the time and place that we know and exist, until a new revolution comes about, and then the things that we knew are critiqued. And soon it's either assume that we can't know anything, and that you know, it's all nothing all the way down, or that it's only your truly autonomous and neutral to you point of view that that you're able to kind of know and understand things, but it might not be right. Now we have kind of this new revolution of, oh no, it's what you know, a certain political movement says is right, and so it's treading on the fact of objectivity that was assumed and understood in the old system, and now it's just saying, well, you know, now we're not taking a postmodern view, we're taking a kind of a post-ethical view, where dictation of the ethical knowledge base is just assumed, and to be against that is to be hateful, and so that's where we derive our meaning from, is for you not to be hateful and to conform. But whatever amorphous blob out there is making those determinations, that's where we should be questioning where they're getting their basis from.